Our scripture reading this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. Reading from God's Word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray and ask God the Holy Spirit to work in our lives through this passage of Scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this particular passage of Scripture and how it describes a Holy Spirit-filled family. We pray, our God, that you would give us insight into what this passage of Scripture means for children, young and old, to honor and obey their parents, and for parents to raise their children in ways that honor and glorify you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the 1960s, a radical change in attitude occurred throughout the United States of America toward authority. It was the decade entitled the era of anti-establishment. So young people were anti-business, anti-education, anti-religion, anti-military, anti-school. But of all the institutions that came under attack, none like the family. This is what one person who participated in the anti-establishment movement of the 60s wrote. One of the leaders, that the 60s was the generation that destroyed the American family. I quote, "We might not have been able to tear down the state, but the family was closer. We could get our hands on the family. And we believed that the family was the foundation of the state, as well as the collective conscience and state of mind. And we truly believe that the family had to be ripped apart by free love. And the first step was to tear apart our relationship to our parents." And that person is right in this sense. The way to destroy a nation is to destroy the family. And the way children can destroy a family is to disobey and dishonor their mother and father. So God's plan for preserving the family from satanic attack is twofold. In Ephesians 5:18, the Apostle Paul urges all believers to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift given to every believer that God pours out on us and that leads us, enables us to have faith in Christ. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. At that moment, you have the gift of being filled with the Spirit, but you are to be yielded to the Holy Spirit so you may be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Apostle Paul states that in Ephesians 5:18, then he talks about institutions, the church. This is how to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the church. This is what a member of the body of Christ looks like if they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Submit to one another as you submit to Christ. Then he goes to the marriage and says, what is a marriage that is filled with the Holy Spirit look like? It's one in which husbands are honoring their wives, by loving them as Christ loved the church. It's one in which wives are in subject to their husbands because their husbands are leading them to honor Christ. What does a spirit-filled family look like? Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. It's one in which children are in submissive respect and honoring their mothers and their fathers. And it's one in which fathers are nourishing their children to love and respect Christ, not just by word, but by modeling. This command, this injunction from the Apostle Paul in verses 1 through 3 is based on the fifth command of God. Fifth command of God in Exodus 20, among other places, is honor your father and mother that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Do you know the placement of this command in the Ten Commandments shows the special place of the family? The first four commandments emphasize love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, because you can't love anyone else if you're not loving God first. But the next six are love your neighbor as yourself. And what is the first command when it comes to loving neighbor? Honor, children, your father and mother, because love begins in the home. That's God's point. That's why he places it as the fifth command. That's very significant. God is saying loving your neighbor starts with your family. This is how Augustine emphasized the importance of the fifth commandment by giving a rhetorical question. If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone in life he will spare? No. That was his point. Because the relationship between the parent and child after the relationship of husband and wife is the primary relationship of life. So what does it entail to honor your parents? Children, what does it mean? Young and grown up. Spirit-filled children are to express their love for the Lord by obeying and honoring their fathers and mothers in the Lord. So what is God's wisdom for a spirit-filled son or daughter? In a word, it's to honor and obey your parents. As verses 1 through 3 say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment that has a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Why should children respect their parents? Well, one reason is because of all the sacrifices they make for us in life. Another reason is because of the wealth of their life experiences. The bottom line reason is because it glorifies God. No other reason need given. Children, Colossians 3:20 says, obey your parents in everything, because this, what, pleases the Lord. But the first reason the Apostle Paul gives in this passage is it's right. First, obedience and honor accords with natural law. It's right. Natural law is the law of relationships that God inscribed on the human heart. And almost every culture recognizes, does it not, the importance and the foundation of children obeying their parents. Almost every culture does, because it's inscribed in the human heart by virtue of being created in the image of God. When honor and obedience to mothers and fathers is lacking, it's a sign of decadence in a culture. In fact, in Romans 1:30, the Apostle Paul describes disobedience to parents as a pattern in a life, as the lowest of the low forms of depravity and decadence and rejection of God. Because it's right in the eyes of God to disobey and dishonor parents. However naturally such behavior comes, because we're sinners, is contrary to the plan and order of God. Here's another aspect of this term, right. It's right. Why is it right? Because God establishes right. And apart from God, there is no right. We read in Nehemiah 9:13 that God came down from Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven. He gave them right rules, true laws, good statutes, and commandments. In Sunday school today, we learn Psalm 19:8 in adult Sunday school. The statutes of the Lord are what? They're right. They're right. The obligation is not only on the side of the child. The obligation is on the side of the parents, who must teach, model, and enforce discipline. Obedience. The only way you can raise your child right is to raise them according to the Word of God, according to the standards of God's Word. Because when children are very young, the child-parent relationship is mediated through whom? The parents. We stand as God's representatives in the home. Now, as children grow up, the more they grow up, they develop their own relationship with God and have their own responsibilities before God and call to repent of their sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they're very young, that relationship is established by God through us. When a child disobeys their parents, they're disobeying God. When a child repudiates their parents, they're repudiating God. But let's take the reverse. When a child, despite our, include myself and all of us, when a child, despite our naturally sinful nature, submits to our parents, they are submitting to God. When you obey your parents, who are instructing you morally, who are teaching you Christian things, who are telling you what's right because they love you, and you obey, you're obeying the Lord. And it's a wonderful blessing. Hear me. It's a wonderful blessing when children obey their parents in what is right. It leads to a close relationship with God. It leads to knowing what's right and what is wrong. It leads to them carrying forth what is right and what is wrong. And if you have Christian parents, the Word of God into the next generation. It's a wonderful blessing. And we need to hold that concept before our children. Son or daughter, I'm the representative of God in the home. And more than anything else, I want you to have a personal relationship with Christ. So I instruct you in God's Word. I teach you in God's Word. And when you obey me, you're obeying God. And when you obey God, God blesses your life. But the opposite is also true. If you don't obey, it will not go well. God may chastise you. God will chastise you to teach you that He must be the authority and Lord of your life. But not only is it right, but also it is God's divine law. It's God's law. Here, the Apostle Paul is referring to the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother, which he says is the first commandment with a promise. It's the first commandment dealing with our relationship with others. And in dealing with our relationship with others, it's the first command with a promise. Love your neighbor as yourself. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Simply put, children must obey their fathers and mothers because God commanded it. It's his word, period. Now, the word children here is not the word for infant. It's the word for any offspring, no matter what age they are. I will always be the son of my parents. This is without regard to age. In fact, this word for children, tekna, is used throughout the scriptures, the New Testament, for describing children of God. When you're born again by the Spirit of God, you're a child of God, no matter what age you are. So the Apostle Paul is saying, honor and obey your parents. And remember, if you're the child of someone and you have a parent, you're to be responsible before God and enter into his blessing, his goodness, by obeying your parent or parents in the Lord. So it's this is God's will. Children, obey and honor your fathers and mothers. Proverbs 1:8, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Well, what is required to obey your parents in the Lord? Look at the word obey. The word obey here is a very, very powerful word. It's made up, actually, of two words, under and listen. So to obey your parents in the Lord is to listen under the nourishment of their instruction and guidance and discipline and love and encouragement and counsel in your life. Obedience, the Apostle Paul is saying, requires conscious listening. You can't obey if you're not listening. That's why, don't we say as parents, listen to me? Have you not said that? But the idea here is to listen under your parents, recognizing they're God's authority, loving your parents by accepting them as God's gift to you for your nourishment and instruction with the intention of obeying. It's not just, well, I'll listen, but I'm not going to do it. It's listen with the intention and commitment to obey. And notice how the Apostle Paul puts it, in the Lord. Now, here's where we need to talk about what this means, obedience to our parents in the Lord. This does not mean that a son or daughter is to obey their parents if they ask you to do things that violate the clear teaching of the Word of God. They ask you to do things that are morally wrong or that go against biblically informed Christian conscience. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord in those things consistent with God's will and His Word. So what if your parents are not Christians? What if they try to stop you from doing what Christ has called you to do? Now listen, some parents, even professing Christian parents, find it hard to accept their children putting Christ first in marriage, in education, in ministry. Because where there is faith in Christ It will draw families together. But where there's unbelief and disobedience, it drives them apart often. So if it comes down to a choice between your heavenly Father's will and your father's will, and they're opposed, you must obey your perfect and true Father in heaven. That's why he qualifies it in the Lord. The honor and obedience that we owe to our parents should never, never be at the expense of obeying God's clearly revealed will in his word. Notice it says, obey and honor in verse 3. Now let's tie the two together. There's obedience and honor, and they're joined. And the emphasis in honor is that obedience is a matter of attitude. Obedience is a matter of attitude. Now, you may have heard of the story of the boy who misbehaved in school, and his teacher sent him to just sit in the corner for a little bit. And the young man went to the corner and sat down, and he said to himself, I'm sitting down, you know, on this chair physically, but I'm standing up in my heart. The Apostle Paul is not only dealing with action, obey, he's dealing with the attitude of the heart, wanting to obey, willingness to obey, because we love and respect our parents. That's what he's dealing with. It's not only obedience on the outside, but it's obedience on the inside. Not a bitter obedience, not a begrudging obedience, not a selfish obedience, not a fearful obedience, but an obedience of honor and love. And this word honor means to put a high value on. It means to put worth on. It means to treasure. Do you treasure your mother and father? Do you honor them? Do you value them? Now, in saying that, I know that in many of our lives, there were dishonorable things about our parents. And the Word of God is not saying, well, look, honor them even if they did cruel things to you. Honor them for those cruel things. Honor them for those unjust things. Honor them for those wrong things. It's not saying that. It's saying, honor your father and mother as obedience to the Lord. And don't, if you're a Christian, be bitter to them. Some of us need to apply the gospel to our own relationship with our parents. God accepts us, though we're sinners. God forgives us, though we're sinners. And part of obeying and honoring our parents is to look for the things in their life that were honorable and to thank God for that, is to see that one of the greatest opportunities we will have to witness to the gospel is by choosing to reach out to our parents with Christ's love and justice, not condoning the things they've done wrong. At times we do need to correct our own parents in the Lord, but choosing nevertheless to pray for them, to support them in whatever, wherever we can, in whatever way we can. Here's another application of this. While we may outgrow the call to obey our parents, God's word says that when we are married, that a new relationship develops. And we outgrow the responsibility and call to obey our parents, but we never outgrow the obligation to honor them. Never. And yet, isn't that what our society is increasingly doing? The elderly are often shelved, abandoned, even by their own families. If you're a Christian son or daughter, grown-up children, we dishonor our parents if we forget them and neglect them. The fifth commandment is in force even when you grow up and are older. Honoring your father and mother means giving them a certain priority in your life. It means loving them, appreciating them, and do what they need to provide. Make sure that they're provided for medically, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Listen to Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. One commentator on this verse, Proverbs 23:22, said this: "My child, support your father in his old age. Do not grieve him during his life. Even if his mind should fail, show him sympathy. Do not despise him in your health and in your strength." We also read Leviticus 19:2, "Rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord." Point number two, spirit-filled children will be blessed with the fullness of the Lord's blessing as they honor and obey their fathers and mothers by trusting and serving Christ. Notice the promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life in the land. So we should obey our parents, yes, simply because God commanded it. But if that's not enough, the Apostle Paul has a very practical reason: that it may go well with you and that you may have an abundant life on this earth. Now, this is a general promise. This should not be taken to mean that if you obey your parents, you will automatically live to 110 years old. Nor does it mean if someone dies young, they were disobedient to their parents. In God's hidden providences, there are times when people die young for God's greater glory. And we don't know why. That's a hidden counsel of God. So don't make assumptions. But God's promise is true and it still stands. Children who obey their parents receive the gift of abundant life in God. And it's helpful here that we understand that when this verse says, enjoy long life, this is a Hebrew expression that means abundant life, God's blessing, a general promise of the fullness of God's blessing, abundance of life. It's emphasized in our text that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, if you think about this, there are several reasons this might be true. Number one is that a child who obeys their parents will regularly be warned and kept from harm's way. He or she will experience less accidents and trauma from sharp objects, high places. How many of us can say that because we didn't listen to our fathers and mothers, we wound up in dangerous spots that we would have saved ourselves in had we listened to them. I can remember my father saying, and he had 12 high-powered rifles. He locked them up. Could only use them when he was with me. If he told me once, he told me 1,000 times, never point a gun straight. Up, nowhere else. He also told me when we went hunting in a park that had one of the highest density of rattlesnakes in the Northeast, Frank, do not go hopping along the streams with the rocks without me. I did that a few times, ran into a few rattlesnakes, and it forever set me free from rattlesnakes because I'm terrified of them. Here's another reason it'll go well. An obedient child will be spared bad habits and bad friends that tend to ruin and shorten life. Here's another reason. Children who obey and honors their parents are more likely to develop God-honoring character traits, whereas those who are disobedient will develop those character traits that are dishonoring to God. Proverbs 4:10, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. But the most important reason to obey and honor your parents is because parents are responsible to teach you how to trust in Jesus Christ and serve him. And obedience to this command secures faith being passed on from one generation to the next. Of all the ways that children honor their parents, the most important way is by listening to what their parents say about the way of salvation in Jesus Christ and honoring their parents by trusting in Jesus Christ for yourself. And so the Lord's command to honor father or mother today means, as your parents tell you of the way of salvation in Christ and model it, that is a call for you to trust in Jesus Christ. And what a great gift it is to have a Christ-centered mother or father who does that. God has saved and called many to faith in Christ because of the teaching and modeling of what faith in Christ is to our children. And we as parents must teach our children the way of salvation by letting them know we're sinners too, and our only hope is Jesus Christ. I thought about this promise, and I thought there are two ways this promise is fulfilled, even if somebody died young, no matter when they die. But if they obey their parents, if they're followers of Jesus Christ, they will live the fullest life God planned them to live, no matter how long they live or die. And number two, they will enjoy long life on the land because when Jesus returns, he's creating a new earth. And then finally, fathers are to honor and love the Lord and their children by nourishing, instructing, and disciplining their children to know Jesus Christ and follow him. What does a spirit-filled father look like? Well, negatively and positively. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Some translations have exasperate. Do not provoke your children to anger so that they seethe with resentment and anger and irritation like sap swelling in a hot tree on a summer day. How do we do that? Well, unreasonableness. Some parents place demands on their children that their child have no way they could ever fulfill. or they load them with demand after demand after demand and let them know you're not measuring up. And maybe you never will. So constant fault finding. Neglect. This was King David's great sin. He was a man after God's own heart. But this was David's great sin as a parent. He loved Absalom. Absalom, if you read, just read 2 Samuel 13, chapters 13 through 18. You have the story of a rebellious son. Absalom kills his half-brother Amnon because Amnon violated his sister, Absalom's full sister. And David did nothing about that. He did nothing about it. So Absalom did do something about it. He killed him. Still, David didn't do anything about it until he was forced to. And then he exiled Absalom, not because of fatherly concern. It was because he was fearful. And he banished Absalom and neglected him. And Absalom was wrong. He was disobedient. He should have submitted to his father. But David was culpable because David neglected his son and stimulated some of his anger and hostility, Absalom's. And eventually Absalom wanted to overthrow his father. Neglect. You know, a child is a precious flower. We can easily crush a child, or they can blossom beyond our expectations by the grace of God. But there are three beautiful elements here, and I'll lay them out for you positively. And they're especially beautiful if they're done by the grace of God. Number one, bring them up. That's gentleness. Calvin translates, bring them up, let them be kindly cherished, then goes on to emphasize the overall idea is gentleness and friendliness. We're to be tender in bringing up our children. So men are never more true men when they're holding a baby, loving their grade schooler, or hugging their adult son or daughter. Tenderness. So we're called to pray with and for our children, protect them, provide for them, and to set a Christ-like example. Because even though our children don't always listen to us, they do usually follow our example. Second is a strong word, discipline. This means discipline, consequences, correction, punishment, designed to shepherd the soul of our child to show them their need to obey and live under the Lord's authority and for the Lord Jesus Christ. No discipline seems present, but painful, but afterwards what? It yields peace and righteousness. And then instruction, warning, means literally to place before the mind, verbally instructing them, verbally correcting them. But notice what it says. The Lord stands behind this kind of training. It's His training and His instruction. So when we do it, God will accomplish the training and instruction He wants. It is really good to ask ourselves whether we're keeping the fifth commandment. Does our relationship with our father and mother bring glory to God? Do we talk back to our parents? Do we hide things from them? Are we giving them the care they deserve and need and the honor they deserve because of their position. And when I face myself before God's law, like the rest of God's law, I have broken the fifth commandment. We all have. But if we trust in Jesus Christ, He kept it for us. He's the only perfect child. And He was the perfect child and obeyed His parents perfectly so that He could be the perfect Savior and meet God's demand for breaking the fifth commandment for us. God builds homes. He's on our side if we trust Jesus Christ and obey Him. The world's against us. The world will do everything it can to destroy the family. But it will not succeed in the lives of those who know and follow Jesus Christ. We can live in submission to Christ, and God will bless our homes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your word. We thank You, God, that You love the family. You love families that are following and serving You. And Lord, You have promised us that when we have failed, and we failed in many ways, that You have promised, as we ask Your forgiveness, as we seek Your face, to not only forgive us, but to strengthen us, to be the children, the sons and daughters, the mothers and fathers You want us to be. Take this passage of Scripture, Lord, and advance Your purposes in our families' lives through it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.